Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Let's go to the guest hotline and welcome onto the show our very good buddy Eric Flack, who's an award-winning reporter at WUSA TV9 in town, who's been all over all things RFK site and Commanders Stadium. So, Eric, welcome back and thank you. How are you, pal?
What's up, fellas? How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Doing well. There's a lot of ground to cover on yesterday, so why don't we just let you explain what actually happened and why it's important?
So what happened and why it's important is that the RFK bill took a huge first step towards becoming a reality with a very short time window to actually cross the finish line. It was caught up in the Senate committee for months and months and months with, I think, consternation and doubt over whether it would even make it out of the committee. As it turns out, after finally getting a vote here in the middle of November, it passed quite overwhelmingly, especially after the Montana senator, who was holding the whole process up for months, withdrew his opposition because he now says the family of the creator of the old Redskins logo now is no longer upset, or at least thinks the team is moving in the right direction, and he blessed it, and everybody joked and approved the bill to get out of the committee. Now it moves to the full Senate, and that's where I think a lot of the uncertainty lies.
Okay, so the next step,
can
obviously.
Can I just jump
go
in
ahead,
on
please.
That? I apologize.
That's right.
But you just said something that surprised me, because I've been telling Danny for 2 days that a source that I have, somebody with the club, has told me every step of the way that they thought yesterday was the hard part, and that once they got to the Senate, that that was going to be the easier part. Do you disagree with that?
Grant, if it had gotten out of the committee in July when it was supposed to get out of the committee.
Oh, I see. So this is election related.
This is election related. This is time related. This is the fact that it is November 20th. This session of Congress adjourns December 20th. If it adjourns and this bill is not passed into law, it's an etch-a-sketch. The entire thing goes back to square one, and they have to start all over again in the 119th Congress next year. You can't just carry it over and say, can we approve it then? Everything starts from ground zero.
And that's where I was going to go here, is there's basically 9 business days, so to speak, government math for you, but 9 business days where this could then be inserted into another larger bill. I know it's a big deal for us here in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, but there are 48 states that don't give up the hot damn about this. Obviously, it's very small potatoes when there's big federal government type stuff to be done. How likely do we think that is? And that's kind of the key question here, right?
So, Danny, I was told 9 business days yesterday, and I've been kind of trying to dig into that because I looked at the Senate calendar today, and they actually go through December 20th. So when you take out the fact that everybody goes home tomorrow, I'm still trying to differentiate why a source told me they felt like there was 9 business days. I've had a couple other sources push back on that. I think the only explanation, and then I'll get to your larger question. I think the only explanation about the timeline is, and I felt it when I was up there on Capitol Hill yesterday, there is literally so much going on with President-elect Trump's cabinet appointments, and there is so much focus on whether or not they're going to be approved and not approved, and whether or not President-elect Trump can find a way to close the session and have them go into recess as a way around some norms. I know I'm getting into politics here, but unfortunately, all these national politics things.
Yeah, this is the part on our show where we just need to remind everyone, we agree with all of you, and we disagree with the things that you disagree with.
The bad things, we don't like them. Yeah. We don't like them.
I agree, and I hate doing this, but this is the reason the national politics are the reason that our little RFK bill is getting so, like, you know, it's like it's in the ocean and it's like grasping for air because all these like headwinds are against it that have absolutely nothing to do about whether or not D.C. gets control of that land and whether or not the Commanders build a stadium there. So the point is, though, there is a limited amount of work days, whether it's 9 realistically or something more, that are left in the session. There is not time, I was told clearly, in Grant's world, in the real world, where this came out of committee in July when it should have, when Dane started holding things up, then we can just get a normal hearing just on this bill alone. Everybody votes for it. Kumbaya. Let's see if D.C. cuts a deal. We don't have time to do that anymore. The only thing that the Senate is focused on right now is passing big, huge bills like spending bills. I mean, they're probably not going to come to agreement on a spending bill. They're going to pass a stopgap measure that goes into the next session. But there are other bills, other big package bills that you could potentially attach it to. Like you could just shove it into like a transportation bill or like a defense bill. But there are all these, if they were to try and do that, if they were, which is a natural, it's something that happens on Capitol Hill a lot where you'll have a bigger bill, and then you'll have these smaller bills that can't get a hearing, and you'll just shove it in there, even though it has nothing to do with the bigger bill. The problem is you kind of like need the Senate's leadership to approve like a vote on something like that. Right now, that's a Democrat, Chuck Schumer. So we don't know what the chances are, and I've been told there's a lot of obstacles to just shoving this bill into a larger bill before the session comes to an end. The larger bill vote would have nothing to do with RFK. If the amendment stays in, then they're voting on something completely unrelated to RFK. But because RFK is kind of jammed in there, it gets approved with this larger bill. If they can't do that, which I've been told is difficult, not impossible, it happens all the time, but difficult, especially considering all the other noise that's happening on Capitol Hill, then you would have to hope, and this is another possibility, that it gets, that there's some sort of a big lands bill that becomes, that actually gets a vote on the House floor that is good, that has Republicans and Democrats, you know, interests because there are land in both states, in states that, you know, favor both parties, and that the RFK bill would be part of that. Keep in mind, at that hearing yesterday where this RFK bill, what came out of committee, there were 74 other land bills, 74. RFK was one of 74. Most of them didn't even have any discussion. Most were just passed. So if the leadership and they can get a lands bill together and RFK can be part of that lands bill, then that's a very, very realistic way and probably a better chance of this RFK bill ultimately being approved by the Congress in time for it to become a reality. If they don't want to put, if they don't have bandwidth for a lands bill, then you're looking at trying to shove it in to one of these other bills that it has nothing to do with and hoping that you don't get pushback from a Maryland senator who doesn't want this to happen because they're concerned about what's going to happen to the current site, or various other people, like Mike Lee of Utah kind of opposed it because he doesn't think D.C. should get the land for free. Bernie Sanders opposed it in committee because he doesn't think, you know, we should help out billionaires like Josh Harris. So there are all these other factors.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Eric Flack with us here, Chief Investigative Reporter, Channel 9, here in town. So you kind of led me to this here, Eric. Who's the champion for this? In other words, I think back for so many years, and again, I agree with whoever I'm supposed to agree with and disagree with all the bad stuff, but I remember a West Virginia senator forever ago, like, would always get these outsized amounts of money attached to these bills, pork barrel spending, or riders, whatever you want to call it, for, like, this great highway system in West Virginia for, like, you know, 11 people. But, like, he was always able to do that because he was the champion for that, right? Like, who's the champion for this, and how much juice do they have?
I was told that it would have to be somebody who's on the committee, the Senate committee that just passed it yesterday. I interviewed Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia. He's a very powerful senator, by the way. He not only was quick to stop in the hall and tell me how much he supported this bill and how great he thought it would be, he spent a good bit of the meeting once it got approved to pontificate on the fact that he grew up with Sam Huff in his garage or something like that. Everybody kind of kind of backslapped about how good the Commanders are. So I think it would have to be a Joe Manchin is a good champion for it because he has the juice and he was very much in favor of it. And being that West Virginia connection, you know, I think the Commanders Nation, I think, does very much extend into West Virginia. It's certainly extended into the Joe Manchin household. There were other senators, you know, up there, one from Louisiana, who's actually on the Republican side, who's very supportive of this, spoke about how Jaden Daniels was a local hero, of course, and how the Super Bowl is going to be in New Orleans. But I think those are the type of names because, again, you have to have a champion who's a senator who has some juice to either get this land bills together, right, which is all of it, all these land packages that were approved yesterday, or, you know, somebody who has connections to a bigger bill to say, hey, we need this in here. It's important. We believe in it. And those are the things that I'm trying to monitor that are happening behind the scenes. I'm told we won't know that it happens until it happens. And so that's going to be the next thing to watch over the next couple of weeks.
Eric, I was told by somebody that, and this was like probably within the last month or so, that basically the 19th yesterday was the first big day because of what happened. And then I think it was the 28th, 29th, whatever it is in November, that they have to beat the clock on coming up, or maybe it's, you know, next month, whatever. But anyway, if it didn't happen before they left, then it's like a long time before anything can happen again. Why isn't it as soon as they come back? Like, and what is that timeline? Are we talking about like a year before this all happens and they start over? Like, what is the timeline if they don't beat the clock?
Yeah, this is the big rub, I think, that we're looking at, and the team is very aware of it as well, I've been told. When you start a new session of Congress, and it starts next year in January after the inauguration, after all the new senators and congressmen are sworn in along with those who are reelected, you start from scratch. You reintroduce bills. If you have an idea and it made progress, you've got to introduce it again. Can be the same language, but it's got to have a new HR, you know, it's got to have a new like code on it. It's got to have a new bill number. It literally starts from scratch, which means it has to go through the same channels, which means it has to go through the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Fun fact, because the Republicans, again, we're getting into politics, but you guys got to bear with me because it relates to our bill. Because the Republicans have taken over the Senate, the new head of the chairman of this committee, where the RFK bill comes through, is Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Senator Mike Lee from Utah is one of two people who voted against this bill yesterday. Again, his point is he doesn't believe that the federal government should be giving this land to D.C. for free and that they should pay for it. And so it all starts from scratch. And I think as we've seen this year, for those of us who never wanted to learn these lessons, Congress moves slow, incredibly slow, which means that if you have to start over, if for those who want the stadium back, at the RFK site, you know, if this bill does not get passed and you're let down, you know, the team now has to decide whether or not it starts from scratch again with a completely, I think most people think, unpredictable like outcome again, because we just don't know what's going to happen next year. We know the makeup. We just don't know which way they're going to go on stuff like this or how important stuff like this is going to be.
But this is all why, Eric, I kind of think they might pull the plug and just say, throw their hands up and go, Maryland wants to give us a $500 million and we can get moving now.
I don't think you're wrong, Grant. I don't. I talked to somebody who's involved in this process, and I kind of posed that to them. And I was like, but maybe you just wait again. Because they kind of took it over. Like they had a little bit of they had a change in like the point person. The commanders had a change in the point person who's running things down on the Capitol Hill side for this stadium stuff. And
is that Joe Maloney's role?
It's Joe Maloney's role. That's correct. Yeah. A guy named Kurt Mehta, and he's his whole background is being chief of staff for high powered senators. Like his world is Capitol Hill. Joe's world was Capitol Hill. Curtin's world really is Capitol Hill. But he said, but people said, like, look, Ein has already said, and Harris has already said, it's 2030. And that's best case scenario. If we had a decision right now, it'd be 2030. You're already pushing back, if we're going to do it again, 2031 to take another year with no guarantee that you get the land. So, like, at a certain point, I think you're right. At a certain point, they're going to have to be business people and make a business decision and you know, not figuratively throw good money after bad by trying to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And if, and for those who want the stadium back at RFK, this is not something you want to happen. But if it doesn't get through in these next couple weeks, I think there are going to be some very, very tough questions that ownership is going to have to ask itself about whether or not it keeps trying to bang its head against this mission to get the stadium back to RFK, which makes a lot of fans really sad.
So, Eric, I think a lot of people are counting on, again, there's a lot of lily pads to jump around, but if it does get to D.C. control, at one point the majority of the council did not favor a stadium at RFK. I don't know the current status. I know there are at least a few that are opposed to it. Maybe they'll go quietly if some other sort of thing, demand or whatever, is met. I know the mayor certainly has political will there, and some of the council does. Where does that stand as far as you know?
I think, and this is just me just giving you my perspective from a guy who's covered this, I think the biggest obstacle is getting the land. I think that if they get the land, I think there's so much more momentum as far as positive vibes around the team, as far as a mayor who really wants it, as far as other people who really want it. I've spoken with the Charles Allens of the world, the chairman Phil Mendelsons of the world, who typically were anti-stadium. And they're still anti-stadium, but they're anti-stadium in a way that says, okay, if you guys want to do this, then it's on you to, like, figure out the money. It's not like we're going to die on this cross anti-stadium. It's like, we don't think this is a really good idea. And I think it's because they're reading the room and so many people want it. Also, keep in mind that, like, D.C. has now spent hundreds of thousands of dollars each on two different studies. So we are approaching $1 million just in studies on how to pay for a new stadium. Like, they have not released the results of the studies. We keep on trying to press for them, keeping that behind closed doors. And their explanation is, we don't want Maryland and Virginia to have our playbook. But D.C. is already down the road on figuring out how to pay for this deal. So I mean, I think that even though I've reported and we've talked about the money, the credit card seems to be maxed out for Washington, D.C., they are spending big bucks to find more money. And they're doing it for a football stadium. And I think, you know, you had Beverly Perry, who's a special advisor to the mayor, who was at yesterday's hearing, and you heard her talk, and it was a huge, huge deal. It was like, this is the first step towards this thing happening. We want to bring them home. And so many people in the NFL wants to bring them home, and there's money you can get from the NFL for a stadium, and, you know, all these different funding sources out there that I think – The it would be a fight, but I think the biggest obstacle is getting the land. And once, if they get the land, I think that is going to be a runaway train, in my opinion.
Eric Flack, you see why we have him on when these matters come up. So sharp, so thorough. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, thanks, fellas. See you later.
See you, buddy.